Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome to Cheaper Than Therapy, a podcast that journeys into conversations that demystify, destigmatize, and desensitize what goes on both inside the therapy room and in daily life.
I'm Vanessa Bennett.
And I'm Danae Logan.
And we are seekers, soul sisters, and holders of sacred space. Every week, we sit down for soul-provoking conversations with fellow seekers, thought leaders, change makers, and even real people during live coaching sessions as they navigate the hard work it takes to be a human.
This is Cheaper Than Therapy.
We finally decided that we're going to do a long weekend retreat because everyone's been asking us and we just wanted to find the perfect place. So we did.
Yeah. And I think it's nice because there's something about doing a 4-night, 3-day retreat that makes it a little bit more accessible to everyone when a full week away can be tough.
Totally. And, you know, we really decided to do it this time on just so many of the themes that feel alive in our work with our clients and what the, you know, the conversations we're having in our group work with clients around the shift in what's happening right now in the collective.
Yeah. And what's happening for women. And I think it's a really unique moment in history that we're living through. You see it in so many of the conversations that are happening with, you know, the success of the Barbie movie, the way we're really challenging these patriarchal structures that we talk about constantly and how much the level of discontent and knowing that something needs to change within my life, but what does that look like, even knowing it, right?
Yeah. And I think a lot of times people are coming to us in a therapeutic setting and they're telling us that they're feeling, you know, overwhelmed, resentful, disillusioned with their life, disconnected, right? That they're struggling to really identify kind of what is theirs and what is social programming, that they want something different and bigger from their lives, but they're not really sure, like, what does that look like and how do I get there, right?
Yeah. So we want to create a long weekend where we're going to give you some of the tangible tools that we have incorporated into our own lives that we're working with and the clients that we work with and really what it looks like to start to embody the rise of the feminine principle that we know this moment in history was sort of prophesized to be about for all of us, right?
Hell yeah. So we're also going to walk away really understanding what it means to envision our life with a real authentic sense of clarity, with purpose, with aliveness. We're going to have no apologies here, right? We're going to also break down some of the limiting beliefs and where they come from, right? So we're going to get into the upbringing component. Why and where is all of this highly codependent, patriarchal, misogynistic kind of approach to life. Like, why are we carrying this, right? It's really important for us to understand and break that down.
Yeah. So we're calling it the Return of the Sovereign Feminine. It's going to be in Malibu, California, the most beautiful estate, January 18th through 21st. And we're just really excited about this one. It feels really close to our hearts.
Yeah. So you can click on either of our bio links on Instagram or social, or you can go to my website, VanessaBennett.com /retreats, and you can check out all information there. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Cheaper Than Therapy. So today we are talking to
just one of our people, as you called her.
She's our people.
She is our people. You guys are going to listen to us have a conversation with Amanda Walsh today, and she is the CEO and founder of Astrology Hub. Mm-hmm. And Astrology Hub, which I mentioned in the episode, is a, you know, it started as a website. I mean, it's more than just a website. It is a hub, a literal hub for astrologers and just content around astrology. But it's funny because full circle, I found Astrology Hub way back when in like 2015 or 16, when I was still working in corporate. And so to have this experience now of having a conversation with Amanda on the other side of it has been just very, I don't know. It's just one of those experiences, right? Where things come back around, but they also have a podcast. So the Astrology Hub podcast, which is a top ranking astrology hub. Oh my gosh, a top ranking astrology podcast with over 80,000 downloads per month, which also features conversations with the best astrologers in the world today. She just really, I think since day one, her mission has always been to pull together like the best of the best. Like, where can I go and know that the information about astrology that I'm finding is high quality, is like resourced, it's, you know, it's pulled from people who have shown that they are well researched in what they do. It's like you can trust it, you know?
Yeah. I love talking to her so much. I think this is why I love this podcast and getting to do what we do, because I feel like we are speaking to people who make me want to rise, and they are like expansive conversations. And she is so much of that. She's just living so on purpose. I think the path that she has taken to do what she is doing in the world and having the impact that she's having is just so unbelievably inspiring. And I think it's fascinating. Like right before we started talking, where both of us were like, oh, there's just so much, you know, mirroring in terms of the conversations that we've been having and the path that both of us have taken are on. That is just so much of what we speak to her about in this episode. And I feel like it just felt really containing in the way that she spoke to some of these shifts that are written, are the inevitable things that we will experience, in a way that it's like, yes, not only is this absolutely what was meant to happen, but it's supporting you in being everything that you came into this life to be, you know?
Yeah. And they have graciously offered all of our listeners 15% off a reading. And so we will have the code in the show notes for that if you're interested, but definitely get on it. It's super cool. There's like a quiz where you can kind of put in all of your information and it'll, you know, what are you looking for? And it'll very specifically match you with somebody, which I just thought was a really cool way to do that, especially if you're going in totally blind, you know? But the episode itself is really helpful because she goes into what we call life transits, right? So you don't have to have a background or an understanding of astrology to be able to take away a lot of learning and understanding from this episode, because she's going to break it down. It's based on your age. It's based on the transits that all of us experience. And also they're going to be giving everybody, which we'll put the link in our show notes as well, like a handy dandy little PDF probably, or like a link to a URL so that you can understand the transits. And if you're driving and you're listening to this, you don't feel like you have to like furiously jot down notes.
I love it. Yeah, this has been one of my favorite conversations. I really love talking to Amanda.
Yeah, enjoy y'all.
Thank you so much, ladies.
Yeah, thank you so much for being here with us, man. I think this is going to be a really informative conversation for people. And Danae and I both definitely have some questions we want to ask you.
Nice.
But can we start with, we always love to kind of start with every guest taking us through how you got to be kind of who you are and where you're at right now. Obviously, we've kind of read your bio. We know that there was a pretty big life change for you, which feels like it will be resonant for a lot of people out there. I know it is for me. But I would just love for you to take us through, yeah, like what that journey was for you.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. Well, I was living in New York City. I had built a life for myself. I was about what age? 33, around 33. And I had my first daughter, which definitely was a wake up moment for me, because now instead of just, you know, I'm doing my thing, I'm going to work, I'm building this career and these things I was doing, it was a choice now. Do I want to go do that? Or would I rather be with my daughter? And if I'm going to go do that, is it worth it? Like, is it is it the thing that that is worth not spending my time with her, right? So when I looked at that, it was no longer worth it. I remember sitting on conference calls and just being like, oh my God, I don't care. I don't care about any of this, you know? It doesn't matter. And so I saw the trajectory of my life. I saw where I was, what kind of like the train I was on, and it didn't match with whatever was happening inside of me, which was definitely an awakening of, God, I really want to feel on purpose. I'd love to feel passionate about what I'm doing. I'd love to model for my daughter what it looks like to be alive and to like truly be in enjoyment of my life. And I don't think I'm on that train right now. I think, you know, I can see where this is going. I don't think this is where we want to go. So then it was like, okay, well, if I was to start over, if I was to get on a different train, what would that look like? And so the decision was made. And I was married at the time. And we were kind of going through this awakening moment, like at the same time, which is, I think, pretty unusual. I don't know, whatever confluence of events that made that happen. But basically, we decided to leave New York, quit the career, which I was an owner of the company. So it was more than just a career. Like I had actually helped to build this company. And so then it was like, where would we want to go? So Hawaii had been a place that we had loved forever. We had gone every year with his family. And it was like, and every time we'd be like, why are we leaving? Yeah. Like we get there. It's like, why are we leaving? So then finally this one time when we were in this process, it was like, all right, let's just do it. Let's go for it. Sold everything we owned, you know, made the big migration to Hawaii. And this was the beginning of a serious breakdown period that lasted like 4 or 5 years, really. Where every single thing that I had built in my life, the aspects of my identity that I was really attached to, like the corporate businesswoman, the successful businesswoman, the one who like gets things done, you know, all that, it all was falling away. Mm-hmm. And I can go into a lot more detail, but I don't need to. You get the point. Like I was going through a series of initiations and trials and tribulations that were just stripping it away. Eventually that led to divorce with this, my college sweetheart, you know, thought we would be married until, you know, our golden years, and near bankruptcy. So like, again, everything that I had built, it was just nothing that I did before was working anymore in the way that it worked. And I was having to find a new way to navigate the world and a new center place within myself from which to create. And so, all, you know, I'm saying this in hindsight, but in the process, it just felt like a total cluster. You know what I'm saying? Just like, oh my God, like I am a failure. My life has totally fallen apart. You know, who am I? What am I doing? What's the point of all this? In that period of time, astrology came into my life. It was totally just this coincidence. I had a friend from New York who's like, I just had this reading with this woman. I think she's in Hawaii. She might be close to you. I look her up online. Not only is she in Hawaii, but she's on the same island. Not only is she on the same island, but she's like 15 minutes away from me. So I go, I have an in-person reading, which these days is, you know, very rare. And it was just this moment of like, oh my God, like there is a point to all of this. There is a reason why I'm going through all of this. And what I was able to glean from that was that not only was there a point, but there was an end. And at the end, I could, if I made a series of choices, I could emerge more me, more purposeful, more on fire, more passionate, more helpful to the world than ever before. But that I had to go through this period of time. And it actually was sort of like written, you know, it like, if you had looked at this chart when I was a child, you could have seen that there would be this confluence of events that would be a time of major transformation in my life. So it's not that I messed up. It's not that I was a complete failure. It was part of my evolutionary journey and path.
I love that. That right there is the kicker for people. It's like, I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't screw up.
Yes.
It's in a certain way, almost destined that we're going to have this struggle. And that doesn't mean something's wrong with me.
And I would venture to say not even almost destined, absolutely destined. You know what I'm saying? Like absolutely destined. And the choice point is always, so you can look at a chart and see there's going to be this confluence of energies that looks like the underlying theme of that confluence of energies is transformation, for example. Mm-hmm. We get to choose. We get to choose how we dance with that energy. So I could have let all of these things happen and be the end of me. I mean, I could have gone into the depths and darkness of despair and stayed there. But through the exercising of free will, this is where free will does come in. You know, it's a series of choices of like, okay, this is horrible. This is hard. This, I'm crying every single day. I'm getting in my car and I'm screaming and I'm swearing in my car because it's the only place where nobody can hear me. But like, there's that much pain. And I know it's going to be okay in the end. You know, mm-hmm. I know this is part of the process of transformation. I know, but I didn't always know, you know, it was like, I feel like the perfect messengers come into your life, the perfect, if you're looking for it, mm-hmm. the perfect people to help shepherd you through that, the perfect, you know, thing you read in a book, the perfect podcast you land on, like mm-hmm. Cheaper Than Therapy, it comes into your life right at that moment where you really need it. So anyways, that's basically my story. So astrology came into my life. I had this opportunity to start Astrology Hub, which is a whole nother story in its own. It was very synchronistic. It was very much like, oh my God, yes, that's the answer. Like, I'm passionate about this. I know it helps people because it's helped me. I'd love to build something around it. I don't know what any of that means, but yes, like it's just a yes. And so that was 2015. And now we're here in 2023 and it's grown beyond my wildest expectations.
Beautiful. I love the language that you speak as you talk about this process, Amanda, and that you talk about it as a series of initiations, because I think there's so much about our society that holds what, you know, at one time in history would have been normalized as these are us being initiated into the next stages of our development. We see them as like having a breakdown or, you know, like you're just like lost and really, really struggling. And you are, but you're maybe losing the idea of what you were meant to be or the conceptualization of your life as you'd held it up to this point and becoming the next iteration of self that, as you said, you were always meant to become.
You know, and it's so interesting when you look at astrology. So there's your personal chart, right? There's your personal blueprint. There's the personal configuration of energetic frequencies that's active and alive in you. Mm. And then as you go through life, the cosmos keeps moving. The universe keeps moving. So there's this, like, I always think of it as like a screenshot of the moment of your birth. It is the picture of the sky at the very moment and location of your birth, right? It's a screenshot. And it's like, boom, you know, it's like this imprint on you, in you. It's not on you, it's in you. And then life, you know, the planets and the stars and they keep moving and they pull out these different aspects of you as you go throughout your life, and they magnetize certain experiences to you as you go throughout your life. And so there's the understanding of like the nuances of you, which is it can get very technical and specific and very deep, right? But then there's these, what I love to call life cycle transits, these transits that we will all walk through throughout our life. I mean, depending on how long our life is, right? But there's the Saturn return at age, you know, 28 to 30. There's the Pluto opposing Pluto. There's Neptune opposing Neptune. And the words don't even matter. But you walk through life and you're going to walk through these initiations. Mm-hmm. You're going to. And if you're aware of the invitation of that particular initiation, you can answer the call.
Right.
You can say, yeah, like, I'm ready. You know, the Neptune one, it feels like there's a fog. It's a very foggy period of time where you can't see much beyond the next step in front of you.
And is it similar to like the Saturn return? And I would love to have you give a little bit more kind of insight on that one, because I've had a few clients recently that they're so smack dab in the middle of it that I've actually sent them resources on their Saturn return so they can understand a little bit more about the context, you know, in which they're living. Do you find that, I know Saturn return is about 28 to like what, 32 usually, but give or take, but like, is it like that with all of the lifetime transits where there's like certain ages that it tends to, okay.
Yes. And what's amazing, so we have in our culture, right, we call it the midlife crisis. Mm-hmm. you know, the stereotypical, the guy like divorces his wife and gets the red Corvette and goes off with the 20-year-old. So that's like the stereotype of the midlife crisis. Mm-hmm. But if you look at again, I'm going to use this word confluence. If you look at the confluence of energies that happens to everyone in the period of time between about 36 to 44, depending on your chart, it's different. There's like three cycles coming together at the very same time that are all about like, are you on the right path? Or have the decisions that you've made up until this moment been aligned with who you actually are? Are you in integrity with who you came here to be? Sometimes it requires like a shock of energy to like wake you up. And that would be the Uranus opposes Uranus. So Uranus is like this shocking energy that can come in. But the more aware you are, the less life has to like do that for you. You know what I'm saying? Like the more you're aware that like, okay, this period of time in my life is about the wake up call and is about these questions of like, am I on my path? Have I just been unconscious and on autopilot and making these decisions because that's what society told me to do? Or is there something else I'm here to do and be? And so that if you know, like, okay, 42 to 44, that's Uranus opposes Uranus for everyone. Mm-hmm. Now, exactly the nuance for your chart. It's going to depend on your chart, but approximately 42 to 44, there will be a wake up call unless you're already awake, you know, unless you're already asking these questions, unless you're already navigating like that way. So yeah, the Saturn return at age about 28 to 30, again, depending on people's charts, you have another one in your 50s, you have the second Saturn return. And so if at that first Saturn return in age 20 to 30, you do the invitation of that, which is like, it's a time of adulting. It's a time of actually getting on. It's like taking responsibility for your physical reality, for getting on a path that will help you to create the structures of your life that you want to create. Is that a family? Is that a career? Is that your geographic location? You know, what is it? But making those decisions and kind of solidifying your presence here on the planet and saying like, I am here. I am responsible for my life. I am making decisions regardless of what my parents or, you know, everybody told me to do. I'm doing what I'm here to do. Again, at age, let me check this right now. It's in your early 50s. Yeah. Oh, no, later 50s. So 56 to 58, you're going to have a second Saturn return. If you've taken, I call it the cosmic curriculum. If you've been mindful of the cosmic curriculum the whole time, that second Saturn return is your threshold to becoming the wise woman or man, the elder, the wise elder. You get to walk through that initiation at that point in your life when you've accepted the initiations all along. And you still can if you haven't been aware, it's okay. But it will be a very natural evolution of your life if you've been walking through all those thresholds all along. And so whether it's astrology that's helping you do that or therapy that's helping you do that, because the astrology just gives a language, life experiences. You can completely walk through these thresholds having no clue about the astrology. It just can help to give you context of what's happening. Yeah,
it's so funny, Amanda. I was just facilitating a group before we came in where we were talking about walking the path of the nonconformist. And we were talking about that period of time you're talking about between age 36 to 44, where all of a sudden it feels like, you know, Brene Brown talks about it, where life sort of like jolts you and it's like, I'm not messing around. Like, wake up. And I like to call it, like the midlife awakening, because it's like I've been sleepwalking through my life and all of a sudden life is like, this is not a dress rehearsal. Let's go. And I love the way that you talked about finding astrology, I think, on your website. And you were saying, you know, it just felt really supportive of, you're not crazy. You're not alone in this. The cosmos is with you and supporting you. And I remember having my first natal chart reading and being like, just weeping at like the extent to which it was like someone was telling me about me and why this was okay. And I think that's what people don't understand if you haven't had that experience of a reading, is it's just so like supportive of whatever this time is. You're not alone in this. This is actually like you're being supported through this path.
Yes.
This moment.
Yes. And again, I'm going to use that word. It's giving language to our experience where, you know, the soul is usually like, you know, whispering to us and we're getting, we can have a feeling or a resonance or a, you know, that pull. And then to have a perfect stranger reveal to you in a language what that call is or that pull is or that whisper is, it's so confirming, like you said. And you know it's a good astrology reading when it's confirming something that you already knew deep inside but maybe had a hard time articulating. Yeah. When it's off is when you walk away going, huh? Like that didn't feel right. Like, or I am terrified now. Like that to me is either an irresponsible use of astrology or just a completely like not accurate use of astrology. Because again, astrology is it's describing your soul's intention and potential in this lifetime. So it's not going to feel like, yuck, oppressive, scary. But yes, it can be like, oh, like I got to gear up. Like there's a period of time where I need to like find more will forces within myself to meet the challenges ahead, but not like, oh God, it's going to hurt me and it's out against me. That's to me when astrology gets warped. And I've experienced it when I've talked to people about having an astrology reading. A lot of times they're like, is the astrologer going to tell me something bad? Am I going to learn something horrible? It's like, no, I want to like hug the person and be like, it's so natural to have that. Like, oh God, is there something wrong with me that I'm going to find out? But it's not like that. And it's not going to feel like that. I also think that from hundreds of people that I've gotten to hear go through it.
I also think too that, you know, similar to when I'm talking to people about finding a therapist, like so often people will come to me and they're like, how do I find a great therapist? And I usually explain it that it's similar to dating, right? Like you have to meet with a few people. What's the vibe? Like, do you connect energetically, right? Like, do you feel like they get you? Do you kind of, you know, and people will laugh at that, but it really is important that the relationship be one of understanding and really feeling kind of seen and understood. And that just means that we're not for everybody. That's not like that there's bad or, you know, one therapist bad, one therapist is good. It's just that some people connect and some people don't. And I feel the same way about astrology. Like Danae and I both had a reading recently with one of your astrologers. And I had said to her that we have a good friend of ours who does astrology and she's brilliant. And there's often times where she will go deep into something and I find myself like, hey, you've lost me. Like, woo, 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 woo. Like there's nothing tangible. I can't grasp it. Like I can't put it, you know, on the earth. And I know myself and I'm a very linear thinker and I'm, you know, I'm very Taurian and I like things to kind of be very earthly and grounded. And this other astrologer that we just worked with through your network, I found to be very linear in the way that she thought and articulated what it was that she was extracting. And so I came away like, oh my God, that made so much sense. And then Danae being kind of more of the circular person, you know, was like, oh, I struggled yeah. because it didn't feel as like resonant for me as far as like how she was articulating it. Right. And so all that to say, I also think that sometimes people have come to me and they've been like, oh, astrology doesn't make sense to me. Or, you know, I had this reading and it didn't land. And I might offer to them the same thing that I would offer if they had one bad encounter with a therapist and they're like, oh, therapy's not for me. Right. And it's like, well, maybe we experiment. Maybe we experiment with different people and different backgrounds and traditions and schooling and really see what fits or feels like it fits.
Well, you know that not all therapy is the same.
Totally.
Not all. There's tons of different streams. Like there's different focuses and emphasis. It's the same with astrology. There is definitely no one size astrology. Totally. There's astrology focused on your birth chart, your soul's evolution. There's astrology focused on your finances. There's astrology designed to help you decide where are your power spots on the planet. Like where does your particular wiring line up with the Earth's grid of energy? Like there's so many different specialties. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, when people ask me, who should they have a reading with? I do the same thing. And I'm almost like deer in a headlight, like, cause I'm scanning like the person, the astrologers I know, I'm trying to understand what question they have so I can get them with the right person who can help answer that right type of question. So that's why we even created that matchmaking quiz for our reading platform. Cause it's like, you know, there are the people that want to go out into the cosmos and explore the outer edges of the universe and get super metaphysical. And there's astrologers who will go there with you. And then like you, Vanessa, there's the ones who are like, no, just give me the tangible, the practical, the grounded, like I want the nuts and bolts. Like, say it to me in a language I can absolutely understand. So there's people that are have different skill sets and gifts, and they're better at one thing versus the other. So yes.
I find this when before we hopped on and we had this conversation before about like transits being the thing that we focused on today in our conversation, I was saying to Danae, I think that most people who are new to astrology, right, they just, they know the sun signs. That's kind of where most people's, you know, understanding stops. And then after that, it might get a little bit too technical for a lot of people. And I do feel like the transits are the thing. While many people, I think, have heard of the Saturn return, because I think it's almost like something that we throw around in like our everyday language. Maybe it's just the circles I run in. I don't know. I think it is helpful to understand that there are these very specific spots along the points of your life that every one of us is going to be in some sort of change, you know, and to your point, that could be struggle or not. It just depends on how you're coming into that transit. I want to go back a little bit because I kind of lost you when you went from the Neptune into the Uranus. And I want to go back to that one because I feel like number one, Danae and I are both in that age range. Number two, a lot of our listeners are in that age range. Number three, a lot of my clients are in that age range. But so you said 42 to 44 is more of the Uranus. Is it the 36 to 42 where we're in the Neptune kind of space?
Okay. I love that Vanessa's taking notes right now.
Well, we made a gift for you. We made a gift for you and your audience where we'll have this broken down so you don't have to feel like you have to scribble it all down. The reason why it gets confusing with these ages is because they start to overlap each other.
Yes.
And okay. Where that whole, you know, quote, I love midlife awakening. That's where this is all happening. So Pluto square Pluto, and let's just call it the time of upheaval, age 36 to 39. I mean, for me, this was the height and the aftermath of divorce. So it was like massive upheaval, massive, like, well, actually I'm doing this with my hands. Like it's up. Pluto's more down. It's more like in the depths of the underworld. It's like, it's a lot of times we think of, you know, you've built a house, right? And there's floorboards. We're in a Pluto transit. It's about taking the floorboards up and seeing what's underneath. Is there rot? Is there treasure? Is there both? You know, is there a little bit of both? And so what it's helping you do is create a new foundation, but first you got to go in and like, see what's under there. You know, if it's rot, okay, we got to replace all this stuff. If it's treasure, okay, let's grab it. But we're going to need to create a new structure that is on firm foundation, but you got to go through the Pluto first. So Pluto's the Lord of the underworld. It's digging up all the shadow stuff. And so that's why it's the time of upheaval. It's not the most comfortable of times, but it's definitely helping you go through a process of transformation that needs to happen. Right. So a little bit overlapping on that is the Neptune square Neptune. And this is the fog. So like, it kind of feels a little bit unfair because you're like going through this upheaval, but you're also not really clear. Right? You're not really clear. You don't have that like perfect vision for your life. You're literally being asked to navigate somewhat in the dark. And so this to me is where you're coming into a lot of your more intuitive knowing, a lot of more of the more yin aspects of creation, where you are magnetizing to you things based on your frequency. And so it's less linear. It's less like, you know, do the goal thing and make the big, huge strategy thing and go for it. It's more the like sitting in the dark, trusting that the next step will reveal itself, putting one foot in front of another. And a lot of it is about what are the qualities that you want this next phase of your life to exude? What are the next qualities? What are the qualities that you want to exude in this next phase of life? And how can you become more in alignment with those
qualities. How that looks, what the outpicturing is, you might not know right now. Mm-hmm. That's okay. It's by design that you might be feeling your way a little bit. So this is happening. And then to top it all off, Uranus opposes Uranus, which is age 42 to 44, which is that wake-up call. So this is Uranus can bring the shockwaves. Uranus is associated with the lightning bolt. Mm-hmm. So it can be that like, holy shit moment where lots of truth is revealed out of nowhere. Or something happens that creates that sense of instant awakening. Mm-hmm. And so it's age 42 to 44. And again, the more aware you are of where you're at in these phases, the less life has to hit you over the head with a 2x4.
Right.
So that's to me is the beauty and the gift of astrology. It's like, oh, thank you. Like, not that life isn't going to happen. It's not like this protection against life happening, but it is when it happens, it's less feeling like it's happening to you and knowing that you're in that cosmic curriculum in that period of time. So again, that when I say that the confluence of events happens in that 36 to 44 range, and they're all happening around the same time, 49 to 51, you get some more. So 49 to 51 is the Chiron return. Mm-hmm. This is where those in you, I'm sure in your archetypal psychological language, you touch on this a lot because Chiron is about that core wound, mm-hmm. that like deep abandonment or rejection or like not good enough, you know, whatever that deep, deep core wound is that we feel like it feels like the one that never goes away. Right. Yeah. It's just, oh my God, no matter what this thing like rears its ugly head, this Chiron return period is the opportunity to really get to the root of that wound and really then start to use that wound as the medicine, right? Because Chiron is the wounded healer, but use that your understanding and your experience with that core wound to then help others with that wound. And again, some of us, this is where the nuances of the individual chart come in, because for some of us, these types of awakening happen earlier, you know, and then this is just an echo of that happening again. Mm. So this is again where the nuances of who you are and your life curriculum comes in. But this period of time, the Chiron return, you definitely have this opportunity to revisit that core wound again and really have a new type of orientation around it. And then I brought up again the Saturn return around 56 to 58, this opportunity to really step into that mantle of wise man, wise woman, and take that position as an elder. And I don't mean old. Mm-hmm. I mean that elder wisdom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think at some point you spoke about Amanda as an invitation. And I love that, you know, the universe is supporting us, the cosmos are supporting us in these stages of development and becoming, but it's an invitation that we can take or not. But what I find and what I love so much about depth psychology is that there's like when you have this framework of, you know, and I love that Carl Jung used to look at the charts of almost all of his clients because it gave him a framework of where they were developmentally. But I think that when we don't answer the call, that's not without, I don't like, I'm looking for another word other than consequence because I don't want it to feel like it's punitive. But I think there are ways that manifests, whether it's depression or whether it's like something somatic that happens in the body, because we are really, you know, being supported in like, take this invitation if you like. But if we don't, and a lot of the societal structures, I believe, aren't necessarily supportive of us answering the call. And they do sort of make us feel like we're crazy and that there's something wrong with us. But that is not without like some way that continues to play out if we don't take the invitation. Do you know what I mean?
We also don't have in our culture, we don't have the platform for healthy initiation anymore, mm-hmm. right? I mean, so many of the platforms that we used to use and have and rely upon have been stripped in this culture that we live in. So many of us are kind of out there floundering around without a platform to be experienced and to be held in those initiatory processes, right? Which is why therapy can be an amazing platform for initiation. You know, I think even astrology in and of itself can be an amazing platform for initiation. It's like we have lost this connection to the numinous. We have lost this connection to the something larger than ourselves, right? And it has consequence. And I think what you're saying, Danae, I know what you're saying about not wanting to be punitive as like the word, but it does have consequence. It does. And I think what you're speaking to is that it's like, if we can actually rely on something like astrology as an example, or like therapy to provide that platform, we might be able to ease that consequence even just a little bit.
Maybe suffering. It comes with like deeper layers of suffering internally, right?
It really does. And often it's at a soul level, you know. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily like, you know, those external consequences. It's more that internal, like restlessness and unsettledness and lack of peace. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, peace comes when we are aligned with our path. Fulfillment comes when we are aligned with our path. Fulfillment doesn't come with a certain number in the bank account or a certain the title after our name. It comes with the alignment with our path. And you're right, Danae, our society doesn't talk about that. There is no recognition of that. Mm-hmm. You know, have you read the book, The Mutant Message from Down Under, about the Aborigine tribe in Australia?
No, but
God, it's so. But one of the things that, like, I read it years ago, like I don't even know, maybe 15 years ago, but it, one of the things that it talked about was how they would choose their quote unquote birthday. They would self-nominate a celebration moment when they felt they had walked through a threshold of evolution. Mm-hmm. They would be like, we're celebrating because I just went to the next level of evolution for myself. And I am,
love that.
I'm claiming that, and we're going to have a party. You know, my daughter is, I have two daughters, one now almost 15 and one 12. And we moms decided to create a initiation experience around that, their walking over the threshold into womanhood, mm-hmm. as evidenced by starting their, what I like to call their moon, but mm-hmm. their period. You know, so we created this whole event for them that, and then they got to walk over this bridge, and there was symbolism, mm-hmm. and ceremony, and women from the community came and held space for these young women. And the age span, we had a kahuna there, an elder, a Hawaiian elder there. We had little sisters, you know, 3-4-year-olds, and all of them would offer the girls gifts of celebration and symbolism. And it was just like this, yes, more. Like, and we should do it throughout our whole lives, you know, not just at, I think it's one of the reasons why we put so much emphasis on the wedding, you know,
yeah,
there's
totally.
A girl that craves these types of rites of passage and this mm-hmm. ceremonialism. And it really speaks, I think it speaks to our souls on really deep levels. And so we put all this pressure on the wedding day, you know, it's like the little girl dreams of the wedding day because it's the one thing she sees. Mm-hmm. Feels like, and then the funeral, my God, we got the right. wedding day and the funeral. So I'm in complete agreement that it can feel like we're floundering mm-hmm. without these anchor points, and we can start creating them. That's what I love too. Like we, as people recognizing there's a lack for this, mm-hmm. we can start doing it, and it doesn't have to be a big deal. We can do it in our little local communities like we did here on Maui. It was just some moms coming together saying, this is important. We never had this. We don't know what we're doing. We're just going to like come up with some ideas and try it. And it was amazing and beautiful. And it will be an annual thing now. So now the women, the young women who have walked over the threshold will hold space for the girls next year to do the same thing. So yes.
That's beautiful. Now I'm listening to this podcast right now. That's kind of like rocking my core, called Witch. It's actually a BBC podcast, and there was one whole episode where she really dove into like the most common witch that we know, at least in the Western culture, which is the Wicked, practicing Wiccans. Anyway, they were talking about the wheel, the calendar, right? And the way that they broke it down, and there are the ones that most of us know, you know, the equinox and all these different things, but you know, spring and fall. But what I thought was really profound in that part was they were talking about the guy that was going through and was talking about, oh, then we celebrate this. Oh, and then this, we celebrate this. And he went through it and she goes, wow, there's a lot of celebrating.
Yes.
And he said, he goes, yeah, because we need to celebrate. Like part of the loss of initiation is not just that we feel like we're floundering and we don't have containment. It's also we have lost our ability to celebrate, right? Like being joyful and just looking around and saying, oh, I celebrate the longer days of summer. That's it. Like, let's celebrate that. Oh, I celebrate like how we're moving into winter. And so like that is going to be more of a let's go inside and get cozy and the darkness. Like, let's celebrate that. Right. And he was just talking about the importance of celebration as part of like the human psyche, like the need and how the disconnection from that celebration and like what that does to us. And that just stuck out to me because I thought, you're right. It's like the birthdays. Maybe, you know, we get our birthday every year, which some celebrate, some don't. We get the wedding, we get the funeral. I mean, what else do we really get to celebrate like day by day, moment by moment, you know?
Mm-hmm. And this, to me, again, this is where astrology can be simple. Like we can get lost in the technical and the language and all that, but we don't need to. Actually, to me, the way that I work with astrology in my own life is very simple. Mm. It's walking outside and seeing the sun and saying hello and thank you. And may I be as radiant as you today. It's seeing Venus rise in the horizon and just the awe.
Yes, awe.
Beauty. And when you, again, it's the intelligence of this cosmic curriculum that we've been so disconnected from, but it's so easy and simple to come back to. It is the rhythm of nature. It is that there's a daily rhythm. There's a monthly rhythm with the lunar cycle. There's a seasonal rhythm with the year. And then throughout the years, there's these cycles like we've been talking about that Pluto's going through, Mercury's going through. You know, they're all going through these cycles. And we can be aware very simply and celebrate very simply, invite the energy of that star, planet, cycle, season, day, whatever it is, into our life. And it brings magic alive again. Yes. Like when we were little, like before the first Saturn square, which happens at 7, and any parent knows like at 7, something happens where they kind of go out of fairy tale. Mm-hmm. They kind of like go out of that, like, oh, everything's amazing. I'm in this like world where I can get lost and play forever and ever. And like something happens where that seems to shift around 7, but that's the first Saturn square. Mm-hmm. So that's the first like kind of coming into form that happens and like matter, like the density of matter. It's like, oh, I'm not still connected to the divine and like just floating over, you know, I'm like, I'm here in a body, and they become a lot more self-aware. So, but we still have that. We still have that access, and we can reconnect with all of it. And again, to me, nature and astrology for me is really just like the stars and the I used to think nature is just like trees and plants and and the earth. But then there was this moment, it sounds so I feel kind of embarrassed saying it, but there was a moment of like, oh, like stars and the planets are nature too. And like it's in the same way. So connecting with them is also a way of connecting with nature and natural rhythm. Yes. And I agree, our psyche craves it. And that's why, like, you know, when autumn comes, there's this like, like there's a change. You know, I live in Hawaii, so there's not much of a change. I have to like create the change in my home. Like we have different scented candles and we have different colored flowers and I play different kinds of music because there's a part of me that's so nostalgic for that, what the fall brings, death and rebirth and going inside and being a little more internal and cozying up with my soul and asking the questions. And so yes, longing.
Sweater weather.
What's that? Sweater weather. celebrate that. Yeah.
Yeah. I felt so emotional a couple of times when you were talking, first of all, because I have a little boy who's 6 and I'm like, no. To the
I know. I said the same thing. I looked at you and I made a little like, oh no.
But you know, but beautiful, because I think that there's such a way that, you know, you're speaking to how we can hold space for that continuum of that. And you as a mother holding that ritual for your daughter, like I want to take a moment and pause just to honor what that is, because so few of us had that. Mm-hmm. I think it made me emotional because I do think that there's a way that like our psyche is so hungry for that, way of being ushered into these like next phases of life and becoming. And I remember I'm the most introverted person ever. And when I had a baby, I had this hunger for other women and to be like held in the containment of like, what is happening? Like I had never experienced before. And I was like, I don't know, but there's got to be like a mama's group or something. Like I need other women. And I think that it's amazing how we will find a way to create rituals and our way back. And to me, it's like the renunciation of the feminine and like that all of what you're describing is so much of like, we reach this phase where, because I didn't feel like maybe even 5 years ago that I was really connected to my feminine circular energy in the way that I am now. But it was like something happened in these transits that you're talking about that it was like, no, I got to get back there. And it was just like an intuitive pull, you know?
Yes. I remember sitting in New York City, you know, this like high powered Capricorn, you know, worker bee lady.
Same, real same.
And I heard the words divine feminine. Mm. I went, huh, I wonder what that is. I have no idea what that is, but that sounds interesting. And it was almost that sounds interesting that I could say would be one of the threads that I began to pull that led me to Hawaii, that led me to this process of transformation, that led me to where I'm at now. But it was just that like, ooh, divine feminine, that sounds cool. I wonder what that is. So those, and I think that happens to us, you know, it's like ping, for whatever reason, someone says something that it's like, I always think of it as like this cosmic highlighter for me. Mm-hmm. That breathe is highlighted and it stays with me and it almost haunts me to the, mm-hmm. until I follow it. You know, so yes, it is very feminine and it is. And if you look, if you pan out astrologically, so we're in these cycles, right? We're in these yearly, daily, monthly, seasonally, annually, and then bigger cycles. It's like cycle upon cycle. So in terms of the ages, we have been in the age of Pisces for 2,600 years, mm-hmm. a long time. Mm-hmm. A lot of that was external authority, like mm-hmm. putting faith in God and government outside of self, religion outside of self.
Yeah.
We are in a transition between the age of Pisces and into the age of Aquarius. It's a very long cycle, right? It's long. It's not like, oh, we're now in the age of Aquarius. It's like, we're in that transition phase, which to me, whoever chose to incarnate at this time, because I believe we choose.
Yeah.
You all are bad ass. Like in a period of time that is seriously tumultuous. Like we're not settled into the new age that we're going through as humanity. We're not at the mature phase of the last age. We're in the middle. Like we're in the tidal wave period, you know? So, and I think we came here, we're like, I got this. Like we have a role to play in the navigation of this way forward. But it is so much about, first of all, coming into balance within ourselves. We've externalized the masculine. Mm-hmm. We've gone, okay, government, daddy. Yep. Okay, police, daddy. You know, like we just like put this masculine thing out there. We're bringing it inside. Right? We're bringing it inside, but then we're also balancing it with this feminine aspect of ourselves, which has just been completely pushed down and made horrible and, you know, tarnished. So our image of our feminine is under repair. Mm. And we're each coming into balance with it and learning to value it. I don't think we're going into the matriarchy. We're going from the patriarchy. I don't think it's helpful to us to be like, okay, we're going into the matriarchy. No, we're coming into balance. Either one of them is out of balance, right? Okay. So we're coming into balance and we're bringing that authority that we put out there, putting it back inside, recognizing the God within us. Mm-hmm. And that's so Aquarian. And that's so Age of Aquarius. It's about the humanity. It's about the power of the human. And I mean, wow. We're going to see things in this lifetime that we probably never thought even in our wildest dreams could be possible.
Mm. Buckle up, y'all.
I know.
Let's do it. Let's get do it.
Everyone here, everyone listening, y'all chose to be here right here, right now. So you're here with us.
You heard Amanda. You're the badass warriors.
this Hawaiian kahuna that I got to study with when I first came to the Big Island. Like I said, I like landed in another land from Manhattan to the Big Island of Hawaii. Mm-hmm. It was like, talk about Alice landing in Wonderland. I was just like, oh my God, what's going on here? Mm-hmm. Anyways, one of the guides that came to help facilitate my journey was this Hawaiian kahuna. And she would always say, tie your slippers on tight. Slippers are like the flip flop, right? Tie your slippers on tight. Like things are going to get crazy. You got them on. So that's definitely where we're at. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So if you feel like things are crazy and tumultuous and uncertain, by now they really are.
You're not wrong.
And you are resourced. You came with the resources to navigate this time in your own unique and beautiful and wonderful way. And nobody else can do it the way you do it. And that is the invitation of your lifetime.
Oh my gosh. Amanda, you're our people. We could just like hang out and talk to you all day. So like, but I want to be mindful of our time and get into the lightning round of questions. I lost my train of thought. I'm in the fog, just like geeking out talking to you. So the first question that we ask all of our guests is who have been your greatest teachers, mentors, people along your path that have influenced your journey up to this point?
Well, obviously astrology and the cast of astrologers I've gotten to interview throughout the years. Like, I think maybe I might be the person on the planet who's interviewed the most astrologers, had the most conversations with astrologers. So they, to me, like make up my Yoda, you know, my partner who I'm with right now, who I've been with for almost 6 years, he is just such a guiding light. Like, he holds this frequency that if I hadn't had him in my life throughout 2020 through my Neptune period, I think I could have at certain times gotten lost in the fog, you know, because I there were certain rabbit holes that I would allow myself to go down. He'd just pull me out. He'd pull me out and be like, remember, it's about joy. Remember. And that to me was just massive. So there's been a lot. And Natasha Alter, the one I had my first reading with, my God, nothing would have happened without her presence in my life. So there's been a lot, but yes.
I love that. So we also talk about the concept of flow, just being this point, right, where something comes into alignment and you could just kind of blink your eyes and hours go by. But we're always curious what flow is for you.
Ooh, I love this question. Mm-hmm. Well, for me, flow needs a container. Mm. So I don't think of flow alone. I think of flow. So I think of sort of like dancing, and how to have a structured container enables the dancing, the beauty of the expression. So what I try to do in my life is create a container or a structure that enables me to drop into that flow state. It's kind of like the discipline enables freedom concept. And if you look astrologically, it's all there. You can't have only Saturn and you can't have only expansion in Jupiter. You got to have both. And when they work together, it works really well. So for me, I need a container and structure around my days in order to drop into that flow. And then I get into flow so easy in times like this. I love writing. I have a Gemini moon. So I find so much comfort and joy in words, whether they're spoken or written. That's where I go into my flow state.
Love it.
And what breaks your heart?
Oh God, what breaks my heart is when, that question just went right through to my heart. When people are unaware of their beauty and how magnificent and how there is a purpose to their life and there's a reason that they're here and there's a gift that they have to give. When I hear about like young people taking their lives, it's just like, I mean, maybe that's okay. Like maybe their soul came here to experience just a short amount of time. But if it's because they didn't know how much they mattered, and if it's because they didn't have the chance to understand like their own beauty and uniqueness, that breaks my heart. Like every time.
Yeah. And then we'll end on a little bit of a lighter note.
Oh, sorry, that was like instant water.
No, we go there. Yeah. Last one is a little bit lighter. What is your favorite food? We bring you down, we bring you back up.
Oh God, I love sushi.
I mean, you are in Hawaii, so that tracks. That makes sense. Yeah.
Well, you got it.
I really do. But my diet is quite simple. I'm not, I wish I was more inclined towards cooking and the beautiful art that is, but I keep it really simple. Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
Well, Amanda, you like this hour has just been such a delight. You are such a magnanimous and expansive soul. Even spending this amount of time with you, I feel like it feels so clear why you do the work that you are doing in the world. And I know what a gift astrology has been for me. So thank you for what you have decided to do. I think it matters so much. I think there's so much healing that comes from the conceptualization that we are held, like you said, that we do matter, and here's why and how, and it's written and there's evidence of that. And I really appreciate the work that you do. And I really appreciate you exposing us to you, because you are just an absolute treasure, sister.
Oh, thank you. I feel the same about you too. My team nominated your podcast as one of their favorites. What do you listen to? What do you like to tune into? And you were like at the top of the list. Mm. And so when I got to tune in, and I was like, oh God. Oh, well, yes, I understand why they love this. And yes, we're totally tribe. And I'm grateful for the work you do as well. I know it takes a lot to like put yourself out there and make yourself available and share your heart the way you do. So thank you for that. Yeah.
And before we jump, I want to give everybody an understanding of who Astrology Hub is, what Astrology Hub is. Like, can you give them a taste of what, I mean, obviously Danae and I have dabbled, and I've actually known Astrology Hub since like way back in the beginning days, which is kind of, I guess, kismet in a way to now be sitting here having this conversation with you. Cause I remember being in my New York City giant office and sitting at my corporate desk and being on Astrology Hub. And so now here we are, which is hilarious. But can you tell us a little bit about it, just so the audience can know like what they're getting into?
Yeah, we're a platform for very high quality astrological guidance and education. So we have a free podcast you can tune into. We made a gift for your audience if they want to like track those life cycle transits that you can get at astrologyhub.com/lifecycle.
Awesome. And we'll throw all that in the bio too.
Yeah, great. Okay. And then and then we have our platform. So if you are interested and curious about having a reading, you can go and take the little quiz and get matched with an astrologer and then have a reading. That can be 30 minutes, 60 minutes, 90 minutes, but we have a lot of different types of astrologers who love to answer different types of questions. And it's an amazing place to start. It's where a lot of people start with astrology, because before that, it's kind of hard to believe. But when someone looks at your chart and speaking your language, it's like, oh, maybe there's something to this. So yeah.
And I think, like I said earlier, that was such a big thing for me. I think I love the way that you come in to Astrology Hub. You have this quiz where you're like, no, be specific. Like, what is it that you are really trying to get out of this? And when you're kind of forced to answer those questions up front, and it funnels it down to, here's the person that we think is best for you, and here's their background, here's like what they've studied in, here's why we think that makes the most sense. It just felt like I went into it feeling so confident, you know?
Yes. And to make that easy for your audience, we'd love to offer a discount on their first reading too. So that discount, and we'll give you the discount code that you can put in your show notes.
So exciting.
Amazing.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Amanda.
Thanks to you. It's such a pleasure.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Cheaper Than Therapy.
If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to share it with a friend, subscribe, and give us a 5-star review on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
And if you want to connect with us more, find us on Instagram at Cheaper Than Therapy, the podcast.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.